You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
I told you once, I think the last time I was preaching here, that my biggest gift to this church is not good to bring a good preaching, but it's to produce encounters. So I could finish it for today, but I want also to extend this blessing to any of us who has youth that are not here today. There is a blessing. I came to this church this morning understanding it was a family gathering. It's a family gathering. So there's a blessing upon children, upon youth, upon marriages. I believe there's restoration for your marriage this morning if you came and if you are shaken, there's a blessing. And upon the youth that are not here, we have some youth that they are isolated with family with COVID, but there's a blessing. The blessing extends like a river that flows, and no one can stop this river. You can build walls, but what happens when it rains a lot here in Hereford? Which walls can hold it? It's not you start seeing the coffee pot putting a lot of things over there to try to protect. Who can stop the river to flow? No one can. And that's the river of God. The river of God, the move of God is flowing and going there and reaching your family wherever they are. I have the challenge to preach in 10 minutes. that for a Brazilian, that is difficult, right? You know? But I've got longer than that. 12, okay. Thank you very much. So I better stop talking. Okay, I'll be quickly, I promise. We are reading together First Peter, and I have the privilege of talking to you about First Peter chapter 3 today. And just to clarify, we need to understand a little who were the people addressed in the book of Peter. The letters of Peter, they were addressed to general people. If you see, there's a little bit of difference between the letters of Paul, that Paul wrote, and Peter. Paul addressed his letters always to a specific church. There was always a specific church. So he wrote to the church in Rome. He wrote to the church in Corinth. He wrote to the church in Ephesus. He wrote to specific people. So he wrote to Philemon. He wrote to Titus. So when Paul was writing his letters, it was addressed to a specific church, a specific people, a specific person, a specific reality. And Peter, he comes, and on his letters, he doesn't write to specific people. And we, on the beginning, we see that he's addressing his letters to a general. We even call, I don't know if you call the same in English, but we call his letters Catholic letters. Because Catholic, the word Catholic means universal. It means general. And the letters of Peter, they were addressed to a general sort of people. It was not addressed just to one people. But they had something in common. They had a sort of characteristics that before I read 1 Peter 3, I want quickly to read 1 Peter 1, verses 1 and 2, because we need to understand who were these letters wrote to. And it was written to Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. So do you know why it usually comes on the beginning? Always when usually when you finish a letter, you sign over there at the end, right? On the letters, they would come the beginning of the signing is in the beginning, because it used to be the pergamines. So the first thing people would do is, let me see who wrote, if it's worth it to keep rolling. So the first, they come on the beginning. So and say, okay, oh, it's a letter from Peter. I better read. So let me keep scrolling, because you could not wait until the end to see if it was something important or not. So Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elected, strangers in the road, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to, let me read another version, because I prefer this other version here. So it starts saying, let's read the first chapter, first verse. It says that he was wrote to the God's elected people, God's elected. Exiles, strangers, pilgrims. So it was written to people who were pilgrims. And they were scattered. They were sent. They were all around the world. The book of Peter was wrote to people. They were spread. There's three characteristics. So it says that they were exiles. They were pilgrims. That means that they didn't have a home for themselves, that they didn't have a place they could call a home. They didn't have a safe refuge. They didn't have a place where they were all gathered together, but they were from all the places. It says that they were scattered out throughout the world. It says that they were, it means that they were not all around the world. They didn't have a home just because they wanted. Peter wrote to people that they were sent to all around the world because they were facing persecution. They were facing, they had to leave their home. They had to leave the place where they were living. And it says at the same time that they were elected. So Peter is writing to people that were saved, that no matter what's happening, no matter how unsafe was the situation, no matter how much pandemic, how much change of politicians, doesn't matter how much raise on your gas, on your bills was happening, no matter how much persecution you're facing because of your faith, you were elected, safe, despite all the situations. You were exile, you were a pilgrim. You were in an earth that's not the place where you belong to, and you were scattered throughout the world. This is the first characteristic that we need to understand that Peter is writing. So Peter is writing to the people that, despite all that, they were suffering. So Peter is quite clear. And he starts saying about the relationships because he knew that was on the relationships that we could find grace. So the first chapters, the first chapter one, chapter two, he goes through relationships. So if you see, he goes through relationships about a husband and wife, about servants and their masters. So it talks about relationships one to one. And then chapter three, it comes to a place when he starts talking about relationships between brothers, between people, and people you like and people not necessarily that you like. People that is like, yeah, I love them, but not. Yeah, that's what people, what Peter was trying to describe. And we're going to read here Peter chapter 3. Let's read from verse 8 to verse 22. It's quite big, but I still have 6 minutes. I'm kidding. So, finally, all of you. So he's summarizing. So he comes to a point where he's summarizing the topic where he was talking about. So finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be lovable. Be full of compassion and be humble. So he starts this first verse, verse 8. He's talking pretty much about the brothers you like to hang. Because it's easy to serve the people you like being humble. There's no problem at all to be full of compassion with these kids. They know the reason of my, what are the reasons of my gray hair? They are. I told them that the reason of my gray hair is, many times I need to say, please be silent. I'm kidding. They know how much I love them. But it's easy for you to serve people that you feel comfortable with. So Peter says in the beginning of these relationships, okay, finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers. Be full of compassion and humble. So necessarily, this sort of people will never pay you evil with evil, right? It's not the sort of people that you expect that will be paying you back with evil. Because then he says another sort of, starts talking about people that we are kind of enemies together, because it says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing, because to this you are called, so that you may possess a blessing. Because whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. My friend, Book of James says that we fall for so many reasons. We struggle and we make mistakes for so many reasons. But the man And the woman who can control his what? Tongue. And I hope I have making a good pronunciation of it, because it's a tricky word for me. The person who can control his lips is what? Perfect. The person who can control his lips, one of my favorite Bible verses that we're studying also together. All men should be quickly to hear, slowly to speak, and slowly to anger. I feel like a proud teacher today. Every man should be quickly to listen, but really slowly to reply back. Control your tongue. And over here saying, if you love life, who love life? I love life. I love seeing my children growing. I love spending time with my wife. I love spending time with my friends. I love life. But the person who really loves life needs to be someone who controls his mouth. There's nothing worse. Every time someone comes to talk and so they say something, and the person needs to reply back. Say, nah, I don't agree. Learn to be slowly to reply. And you will find grace in life. You'll find joy. He must turn from evil. Verse 11. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are paying attention to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who is going, and we had our life group, by the way, if you're not part of life group, you need to be. And on our life group, we were studying this part together. Pay attention to this. Who can, ask the person next to you, who can harm you if you are eager to do good? Peter is asking this. God is asking through Peter. We keep forgetting that Jesus forgave all the mistakes that people they did to us. So who can harm us if I have the conscience that whatever I'm facing, whatever are the bad things that people they did to me, was already forgiven? How can I reply back? And for us to understand how Jesus wanted to make that clear, Matthew chapter 5, to finish, is one of the most famous parts of the Bible, because it talks about the good, how do you call it in English? The bad stews, thank you very much, yes. As boa bem-aventuranças in Portuguese. So it's one of the most famous chapters, because it's giving blessings and blessings and blessings. And usually we stop on the blessings. Blessed are those. And we stop over there. But I encourage you to keep reading and keep reading and keep reading. Because Jesus comes 3 points that if someone takes from you, and the world will take from you, you need to learn how to respond. Because on the verse, let's read from the verse 38. Matthew 5:38. You have heard this, that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, the Oscar scene, everyone saw that. Will Smith going over there, he was talking about his wife. I am the one who will protect my family. I will go over there and psh, ta-bah, right? If anyone do that, reach you on your right cheek, turn to the other side also, offer the other side. If someone wants you to sue you and take your tunic, let him have also the cloak, the coat. Wow, okay. If someone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. My friend, let me tell you something for us to finish and understand what Jesus, why Peter. Peter was the first book on the Reformation that was approved to be part of the Bible itself, because it was impossible not to identify that was full of God's presence, that Peter was inspired by God, by the Spirit to write it. And Jesus is telling us, if they're going to take you three things away, what are these three things? So they say it's about the slap on your cheek. What does that represent? Your honor. So people, they will try to steal your honor. If I come to over, if Tim is preaching over here, and I come over here and suddenly do bah, on his face, I'll never do that, of course. First of all, he's much taller than me. I'll be in big trouble. But that's not the reason, of course. But let's say that I come over here and then I slap his face. What I'm stealing from him, he will feel ashamed. I'm stealing his honor. So Jesus is saying, if anyone comes to you and steal your honor, offer the other side. Then he goes to the second thing. If anyone steal your piece of clothes, your tunic, offer also the coat. Why? On their time over here when it was written, if you had debts, they could take anything away from you, your other possessions, but it was not possible. It was forbidden to take your clothes off, to take. And so he comes over here saying that if someone takes literally all the last things, if they take your possessions, if they take your last point of dignity, Jesus was saying, go and give the coat as well. And for last, Jesus says, if someone makes you walk a mile, if someone forces you to walk a mile, you go and you walk another one. So Jesus was saying, if anyone forces you to do something you don't want, if they steal your will, if they steal from you the right to have your choices, what you want to do, go over there and walk the second mile. Jesus is incredible. Incredible. Because he sets a totally different perspective of life. And we've been talking. I asked on our life group, who wants to be friends with Jesus? And everyone said, I want to be friends with Jesus. And said, be careful. Because look what he did to his friend on the tomb. He kept him over there. He didn't went over there. He could have gone to save his friend, but he knew that his friend was the safe one he could help, he could use. We are the people, my friend, that can reveal the road through relationships that we are loved by God. It's tough. It's tough, but you know what? It's forgiven. And I want to pray to finish today because we are studying something over here that is really powerful. And I really felt this morning, a lot of people over here are hurt because of relationships. And people said things. I commonly, you know, you don't need to come to church to be saved. You don't need to be on a church to be saved, but it amazes me that someone wants to be spending eternity in heaven with people they don't want to spend a few minutes on earth. Because in heaven, I don't have a choice. So I want to be in heaven with Simon. Even though he teases me a lot. And how can I think it's so easy for me to be there with Simon if I struggle so much to be on earth with him? Doesn't make sense. You don't need to be in the church to be saved. If anyone tells you need to come every Sunday to church to be saved, it's a lie. But it's impossible to cope that I'll be in heaven with someone that for me I find difficult to be on earth together. I need to bring heaven down. That's the place where the relationships happens. And that's the place we find healing. We find healing together. we find healing together. And this morning there's healing, because I really believe. I want to pray for us to finish. And I'm going to ask the leaders to be here a little bit longer. Although we have barbecue for the youth today. Woo-hoo. But I really believe that some people, they are struggling because people said things to you and you can't forgive. You've been holding it. They said about your family. They said about your work. They said about, I don't know. And you need to forgive. Because you are holding something that Jesus already forgave. And that can stop us. Those things, they stop us. So close your eyes, let's pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the family we are. Thank you because while all the gods that man made, their holy place is a temple, for you, God, the holy place is a table. It's the house where we sit together and where we eat together. That's the most holy place ever. And God, you know that it's through relationships that we're going to be healed. And you know that we will struggle on that. And we need the help of your Holy Spirit. And Father, I want to pray for our hearts this morning because so many of us keep quitting church, going here, going there. Every single time when we hear something that disturbs us. We need to grow, Jesus. We cannot be babies for longer. We cannot be so immature for longer because you live in us. You want to do things, great things through us. Who are feeling persecution. People are telling about your faith. And you're feeling weak. You're feeling about to give up. If people are telling about your family, if they're gossiping about you, I'm telling you that you're going to leave the situation more than conqueror. Because despite the persecution, as we read the beginning of the chapter 1 of 1 Peter, despite the persecution, despite being spread all over, the first characteristics of the people that Peter wrote to is that they were God's elected people. Who can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ? So Father, if anyone over here this morning is hurt because of words, things that happened in the past, maybe marriages that are about to give up because of unforgiven, unsorted things, there's hope. We carry the hope that the world is looking for. So Father, right now, go inside the marriages, go inside the relationships, find the broken places, find the broken gaps, and pour out the oil, pour out the blessing. Heal the relationships, Father, because we are your family. If someone is walking alone, help them, Father, to find grace of being part of a family in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't rush, okay? I really believe there are some people that are hurt with church, that are hurt with family, that are hurt with friends. And we need to walk this extra mile. We need to offer the other face. We need to offer the cloak if we want to get healed. So don't go home if it's that your case without asking for a prayer. I believe there is healing for you and for us this morning. Okay? In the name of Jesus. Amen.